Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. As always, Stands and Fits is brought to you by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. We are back after a one-week hiatus.
Yep, you were down in Kansas City last week.
I was down in Kansas City.
Doing some on the ground reporting, I guess, down there.
I was trying. It was those media days make for long days, tiring days, but I got through them. The other thing that makes for tiring days is recording an hour and a half long episode of Football and Random Things, which is why I'm going to pass the hosting stick off to you. You're going to do it today.
I'm hosting today?
Yeah. I'll at least take us in and out of the breaks, but you got us.
All right.
Got us the rest of the way.
All right. Sounds good. Well, hey, to open this week's podcast, we'll briefly talk about the Tech game. We always talk about the game very briefly because you talk about it so much on other podcasts. So what were your initial thoughts on the Texas Tech-Iowa State matchup?
I mean, it's good to see them get a win when they didn't play their best.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really the biggest thing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think in a lot of those past games, when you saw Iowa State make that crucial mistake like they did at the beginning on that block punt, usually that was kind of like the start to the snowball effect in a way, where it kept on going downhill. And that came back again later in the game when there was that strip sack for the touchdown there in the end zone too. So it was great to see Iowa State overcome both of those critical turning points in the game and still come out with the victory.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the rest of it just kind of confirmed stuff we already knew. I mean, the defense is good.
Mm.
You know, we already knew that.
Yep.
The offense is good in moments.
Mm-hmm.
They also can just be really inconsistent.
Yep.
Kind of depending on what they're trying to do. But at the end of the day, it was a win. It's kind of funny how when they're winning, it's like they win three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
There's not near as much to talk about as there is when they are losing every week.
Agreed. And especially when there appears to be somewhat an era of consistency at the quarterback position too.
Right.
We're not going through another switch anytime soon as long as Brock Purdy stays healthy. So
well,
that's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see any way that there's any kind of changes in the near future.
It's been pretty obvious that he kind of raises the ceiling of the offense's potential.
Right. I mean, the dude just has so much natural ability that it kind of pushes him past everybody else, which kind of takes us into another thing from earlier this week. Zeb deciding to transfer.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I'm a little surprised, I think, as many people are, that he didn't wait till the end of the season. Like, I don't think we've gotten a concrete answer as to why he just did it now as opposed to waiting.
I think that their statement said that it was just about finding more playing time.
Which I can totally see, but at the same time, how much of a difference is it going to be to leave now versus after the bowl game or even like right after the regular season's done, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of my thing that I wondered about. Just like what, I mean, now he doesn't have any opportunity. I mean, unless he's getting people to work with him, like what opportunity does he have to continue to try and get better, you know? And I guess if he just has to leave the program in order to put it out there that other people, so other people know that he's looking for a new place, I don't know how that works, you know?
And I'm kind of curious too, obviously with Kyle Kemp's injury, he's back now. And I think, you know, even when Brock Purdy went in for him in the Oklahoma State game, at that point, Zeb was still for sure the backup, even if Purdy had taken over the starting job at that point.
Right.
But now that Kyle Kemp is back, he's probably the default backup. So that pushes Zeb down to third string. So I wonder even if after, you know, the development of the Texas Tech game and Kyle was back in uniform, I wonder if that kind of influenced his decision to go now too.
Yeah, and it almost could even be where he was waiting for Kyle to come back. You know,
yeah,
which if that's the case, then I think that just kind of shows what the kind of character he has.
Yeah. And if that is the case and he technically might have wanted to transfer a few weeks ago, we don't really know. And if he did wait for Kyle to get healthy so they have more depth at quarterback, then that was a good call. And
on the bright side, I don't think there's any animosity towards him in any way.
No, I think, you know, Cyclone Nation obviously thanks him for what he did here and wishes him well wherever he ends up.
So. Right. I mean, it'd be one thing like if it was clear that he was going to be competing for that job. But I think that at this point, it's pretty clear that is Brock's job to lose. And nothing he's shown so far leads us to believe that he's going to lose it.
Yep. So then if you had to guess, take a wild guess where Zeb ends up, where would you guess? Do you think he goes to App State, or do you think he goes somewhere bigger than that? Where do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably a potential option. I don't know how much bigger he would go. I think that somewhere like that, I wouldn't even be shocked to see him end up at a place like North Dakota State, you know, which I think that he's probably more talented to play at a level higher than that.
Yep.
But at the same time, that school has shown that you, if you go there and have success, like you can be just as notable as you would at any other place.
Yeah. Obviously Carson Wentz is testament to that.
Exactly.
My friends and I were kind of talking. He definitely has the talent. Like, he could be honestly a starter at the Big Ten, and I think he could be really good in that kind of offense, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think in this league, what Iowa State needed for their quarterback to do, he just wasn't physically capable of that, you know. And that's nothing against him.
Yeah.
It's just that it just didn't work out,
and
you know.
From what I hear, Zeb, you know, obviously the past few games, when Zeb did play, he wasn't that mobile. But from what I hear, before he tore his ACL his freshman season, he could add that element to his game. So it's kind of unfortunate that maybe he once was a good scrambler, maybe not as good as Purdy, but you know, he could get around.
And yeah,
that really isn't a part of his game anymore, at least at this point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see where he does land, because, like I said, I don't think there's any animosity towards him on the team or even from the coaches or anything like that. It's just like, you want what's best for that kid. And in reality, probably staying here at the end of the day might not be best for that kid, because he's good enough to play somewhere else.
Yeah. And if he can get playing time somewhere else and, you know, improve his, if he wants to get drafted, improve his own draft stock, then good for him.
Yeah.
You know, I just gotta say, good job, Zeb.
For sure.
All right. Moving on. So another potential story involving leaving, Matt Campbell watches back. So obviously the Browns head coaching job is open now, with their head coach getting fired. So naturally everyone's talking about Matt Campbell potentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said it wrong that time, potentially being called by their front office. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I know that I'm sure that they'll inquire, you know, my only thing is that I don't know. I'm still not sure what kind of reception that would get from Browns fans. I mean, obviously I don't have a good pulse on the fan base of the Cleveland Browns, but that still just seems like, I mean, the dude's record at Iowa State is still below 500 at this point, which could change with these next two games, but it's still, I think, a situation where like a fan would look at it and be like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, that's the best we could do.
And the other college coach name that's getting brought up for that job is Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. And I think if I was a Browns fan and I didn't really know who Matt Campbell was, I would be much more excited about Lincoln Riley than I would Campbell.
I think you would be excited about Lincoln Riley just because he's just got more of that name.
Yeah, he's got more of the name. He's from a more notable college school. He's more of an offensive-minded coach, so I think that's a little bit more exciting in the grand scheme of things, but not necessarily the better coach. We don't really know that for sure.
No.
At least at the NFL level.
Right, yeah. I mean, my thing, too, is I get the vibe that Coach Campbell really likes the different, like, he just likes some of the stuff that only comes with the college game, the recruiting, and being around young men.
Yeah, young men. Yeah,
you know, I was gonna say that. And like the NFL, just as a business and just as a sport, is so much different than college football.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's things that he does that it seems like he would miss that if he went to the NFL.
Agreed. And I think his personality as a leader is more attuned to the college game too. He just seems like he would lose some of what makes him so special at this level if he were to move to the NFL.
Right. And I think that there's different positives to each side of it. Like I said, the college game is so much more than just the football stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's the, you know, dealing with the kids and like recruiting and boosters and like all kinds of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the NFL, it's literally just the football. And it's like, that's all you really have to worry about.
And the thing about the Cleveland Browns too, is there's a high likelihood that that job's going to be open again in like 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So,
I mean, just based on the history of their franchise.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the chances are that whoever becomes the head coach this time around, if it's not Campbell, then they are probably not going to take the Browns to a Super Bowl anytime soon.
Right.
And, you know, after a couple seasons of mediocrity or worse, then they'll probably get canned anyway.
Right. And I think that that's why Lincoln Riley saying, you know, not right now, mm-hmm. which is he's staying committed to Oklahoma, but at the same time, not closing the door mm-hmm. on any possibility like that, then that, you know, I think that that is similar to maybe what Campbell could be in, where if eventually he's like, I want a new challenge, then, you know, you go and do that.
But, yeah. And another thing about that is too, Campbell has the ties to Ohio. I guess I haven't really paid too close attention, but Lincoln Riley isn't specifically close to Ohio for any reason.
Not right? that I'm aware of.
So no. If he wanted to go to NFL, you would think that there would be probably a better organization that he could go to.
Man, I just don't know how much that has to do with anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, Cleveland can pump up the fact that Matt Campbell's from Ohio. But at the end of the day, like, does anybody really care that much? They just want a good football coach. Like, in the NFL, that's what you want. And you don't care about the fact that a guy's coming home, you know?
And that's also different, too, because if, say, Campbell went to Ohio State, that's different because he's obviously recruiting kids to come there.
Right.
And there's not really much recruiting, at least to the extent of the college game, as there is in the NFL, you know?
Exactly. That's my thing. It's like, for one, Coach Campbell has never done anything in the NFL, you know? It's not like he played in the NFL for a long time. He didn't play in the NFL at all. It's not like he's coached in the NFL. He's never coached in the NFL at all. Mm. All he's done is coach in college. And like, that's, I'm not saying it would never happen, but I think that regardless of what is being said about him by some of these media members about the rumblings and all this kind of stuff, it's like, okay, they like him, you know, they like him. I heard Albert Breer today say on Dan Patrick, he said that the scouting circles that John Dorsey, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, runs in, speak very highly of Matt Campbell. Okay. Well, what does that have to do with anything? That doesn't mean that they're like, oh yeah, this guy is going to be a great NFL head coach, you know? And we've seen some of the greatest college coaches ever go and coach in the NFL and they have no success, you know? I mean, think about Nick Saban.
Yep.
Arguably the greatest college football coach of all time, went to the NFL and was fizzled out in what, 3 years, two years?
Yeah.
And it was an absolute disaster. Steve Spurrier was the same way when he went to the Redskins. It is so much different than what college football is. Mm. I think that even if he went there, I would be worried for Coach Campbell that it would just end badly and he would just regret the fact that he went and coached in the pros.
Yeah.
If he was going to leave for another college, that's one thing, you know, but it is very rare that we see the college to NFL jump work that often.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Pete Carroll's like the only guy I can really think of right now that it worked. And even then he'd been in the NFL and then came to college and then went back to the NFL. Yeah. So it's not like he had been a college coach forever.
For sure. You know what I think the Browns should do? They should hire Jeff Fisher. And then like after Jeff Fisher gets them to 7-9 within like 2 or 3 years, fire him immediately. And then so because at that point, the team will be at least decent for someone else to work with. And then someone else can come in and take it from there.
You mean basically what the Rams did?
Yeah, pretty much.
And I guess kind of what the Titans did too.
Yeah. It's a foolproof plan, man. Because Jeff Fisher is guaranteed to go like 7-9 or 8-8, no matter where he coaches.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So
no matter the roster even.
Yeah.
I think that what the Browns need really is they just need someone to come in there and just completely clean everything, like clean the culture up. Because it's just so, I think it's so toxic there right now. And guys have been able to get away with so much stuff for so long that now they're just, it's almost unfixable.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, that's just the culture of losing.
Right.
You know? And the nice thing is they do have some nice pieces. They've got Myles Garrett on defense. They've got Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb on offense, too. So they've got some good...
Jarvis Landry,
yep. So they've got some key pieces. They just need to, you know, get back on the winning track.
And that's where I think that some of the appeal for Coach Campbell probably comes into play as well, where it's like they've seen him do this with Iowa State. But... like I said, this is so much different. Like it's not the same. And I haven't asked Matt Campbell, yo, are you gonna go to the Browns?
Yeah.
You know, that's just how I view this thing. We have not seen that be a very successful story very often.
Mm-mm.
And to me, it I have a hard time seeing that work out very well. It would be very, very reliant on what the staff that he puts together would be. And I find it hard to believe that he's just going to leave all these dudes that he brought to Iowa State and be like, oh, yeah, sorry, guys, I'm going to the NFL.
Yeah. And I do.
And none of them have coached the NFL either.
And I do. He has come out and said that he wants to accomplish something in Iowa State. And I don't think they've accomplished what he wants to accomplish.
No, I trust that Coach Campbell is a man of his word. Like, and this is not some other coaches where it's like, oh yeah, I want to accomplish something here. And then the next day they're gone.
Yeah. It's not lip service.
No, I think he really is a genuine person. And that's what I think sets him apart from a lot of coaches. And I think it's what, at the end of the day, is going to lead to him having a very, very successful career as a college head coach. Maybe I'm wrong. Everybody can come back and cold take me in 3 months whenever he goes to the Browns. That's cool. But right now, how I feel today, that is what I think that he will do. And I truly believe that he is here for the long run. And I don't even think we could have said that about Fred.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it
was well known that Fred wanted to go to the NBA.
Exactly. And like from the beginning of this entire thing, that entire tenure, it, especially once they started to get good, it became like a thing every year where you were like, you consistently, the idea was in the back of your mind, like, man, Fred might leave, you know? And then when he did leave, it wasn't that shocking at the end of the day, if you had known what was already going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And the people talk about the money, all this different kind of stuff. It's like, I was on Holly Rowe's show with Gabe Icard yesterday on SiriusXM, and that guy was talking about, with Lincoln Riley specifically more than Matt Campbell, he was talking about how there might be 8.5 million reasons to go to the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be the way it is for Lincoln Riley. I don't know Lincoln Riley. I've never interacted with Lincoln Riley in any way, but I don't think Matt Campbell is that way.
Mm-hmm.
I legitimately believe I would not be that surprised if you went and asked Matt Campbell, Coach, how much money do you make? He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy that he's like, oh, I know exactly how much money I make all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
that's very true. Yeah.
He's just like, I don't know. So I'm just a football coach, dude. Yeah. Like I don't even care. Like I make more money than I probably even need. Like that's really what it comes down to. Like he's just not that kind of guy.
And how great is it to have a guy like that at Iowa State?
Right.
Very blessed. And I think
Coach Prohm's the same way. I even remember a time where we were talking to him about something and another reporter brought up his contract and he was like, oh, is that what it is now?
Yeah.
Jamie Pollard went out and found the right kind of guys for the culture at Iowa State.
Yep.
Where it's like, they don't care. They don't give a shit about the money. Like, it's just like, we do this because this is what we want to do.
Yeah. And again, as long as Matt Campbell's name is in the media as potential for these NFL jobs and other college jobs, that's good news for Iowa State.
Right.
Like, we want this to keep happening.
Well, and the same thing happened with Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, and it was basically the same position. Iowa had obviously been better than Iowa State had historically, but mm-hmm. the program that Kirk took over at Iowa was absolute garbage. It was not that far off from what Iowa State was when Matt Campbell took over, mm-hmm. and it didn't take that long for us to be having this same conversation.
Yeah.
Or for people to be having the same conversation about him every year being brought up for the coaching jobs in the NFL.
And obviously Kirk Ferentz is the exception to the general rule when it comes to coaches and what they do. But still, it's like, I think Campbell is old school.
Yeah, I think that he is too. Yeah. I mean, the dude is just, he's just, I don't think he's one of those guys. And they asked me that, you know, how worried people are. And I was like, this dude's different. Like, there's just something about him that he doesn't seem like other coaches that you're around, that it's like he's just waiting for that moment when it's like, well, see you guys.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Had some good memories.
For sure. Okay. So moving on.
Oh, sorry. I went on a rant there.
That's all right. It was one of your patented Stands and Fits, Jared rants. So it was good. Okay. I know we kind of led with this, but do you have any extra side stories that maybe you haven't reported on from Big 12 media days? Anything like that that's popping around your head that you kind of need to get off your chest or share with the listeners?
Oh, man.
Where'd you stay?
Stayed with a friend.
Okay.
No, I mean, not really, dude.
Pretty typical, boring.
Yeah, I went down there with the idea that I didn't really care about anybody else. Like, I didn't care about any of the other schools all that much. You know, it was like, I'm going down there to get my Iowa State stuff. and then I'm getting out of here.
So you didn't hang around to like see them pressure Bill Self when all that scandal stuff kind of came up?
Dude, the thing that people like don't realize about this stuff, like so the way it goes at Basketball Media Day is in the morning, you get there, depending on when Coach Prohm is on the podium, we'll talk to him like on the side, all the Iowa State guys will. It worked out that he wasn't going to be there in time to like do that very much before he had to go on the podium. But Bob Boolsby does his press conference and then they just all go one by one all the way through. And like during that time, you just like listen to what the other people are saying, or you just like walk around and just try and figure out a way to stay busy.
Yeah.
So after Bob Boolsby went, I wrote my thing about him, you know, then I just sat and listened to a lot of the other coaches. Eventually Coach Prohm went, he got done with his, we talked to him again on the side. We talked to all the players on the side. And then after they finish up the press conferences, the players all sit at a table and they all just like sit there and people go up to them and stuff like that. Obviously the guys from Kansas are usually asked a lot of questions. This year, the guys from Kansas State were asked a lot of questions. The Iowa State dudes basically sat there like this.
On their phones, kind of pecking away.
And nobody had anything to ask him. At that point, like, I wasn't going to go ask him any more questions. I'd already talked to him, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, I'd kept going back there just like to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was the same thing. Every time I walked back, a huge group of people around the players, every other or around the Kansas guys and all the other tables were just basically empty.
Yeah.
And that is basically the exact same thing that happens when the coaches are up there. You know, because most national guys, they don't care like what
Iowa State they do.
Yeah. At this point, like,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, you do. But at the same time, it's like, what, you know,
people on the East and West Coast aren't really caring about Iowa State at this point,
or even Kansas City or Austin or wherever, you know, like there was one story that was dominating the entire thing. And that was the Kansas thing.
Yeah.
And when they were sitting back there is when the verdict came out of the Southern District Court of New York with, you know, the guilty verdict and all that stuff after the entire trial that had been happening over the last several weeks. And so you walk back there and there's a group of 25 or 30 media members around Bill Self. Well, it's like, okay, I'm clear back here. I wouldn't be able to ask him a question even if I wanted to.
Yeah. You're tall enough, man. You can get over that.
I mean, it's like, yeah, could I get a recording of it? Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't care, you know, like I don't care that much what Bill Self has to say right now.
Cyclone Fanatic itself probably doesn't need to report on that.
No, and that's like the first time I went down there, you know, it was different because then, I mean, George was there and like they had Matt and Monte and all those guys coming back. But then it's like this year, nobody has that much to say about any of the Iowa State guys, you know. Those first couple of years I went, like Scott Drew, you could go to Scott Drew and he'd give you a great quote about Monte or George. You know, you could go to Bruce Weber and he'd give you a great quote, or Bob Huggins or whoever. This year, it's like, they're like, okay, we played against Lindell twice, you know?
Yeah.
It's like really good player. And it's like, okay, well, I can go and get that from Coach Prohm. I've already got that from Coach Prohm. And it's something that I already know. I don't need you to sit here and tell me.
Yeah.
So it's just, the whole thing, it's fun. It's cool just to like get around all the people and like see all the guys in the same place at the same time. But at the same time, it's just like, it's just like
pretty straightforward.
It's just like a process that it's a thing you have to do. And then once it's over, it's like, all right, well, it's over. Now I got everything that I needed to do done. And now we're out of here and it's over. And we'll see you next year.
All right. Well, maybe next year you can get a little bit more dirt for us.
I'll see. Maybe if Iowa State has some guys, maybe if Lindell comes back, it'll make Media Day next year a little bit more interesting.
There you go.
Or if, you know, Bill Self gets fired because they are slapped with like massive NCAA sanctions.
Yeah.
Which neither one of those possibilities I'm going to hold my breath over. So
very true. All right. Let's move on to some mailbag questions here this week. So staying on the topic of basketball, and I don't think there's a good answer here, but Sigmopolis from the forums asks, anything more you can tell us about the scrimmage with Wisconsin?
Nope. I don't got anything. I just know what the score was. Yeah.
They didn't release any kind of box score like they did that for the Nebraska one.
No, that was abnormal. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why Nebraska did that. Apparently, that was weird.
Apparently Iowa State got spanked, but I do think they had a few players probably sit out. So
yeah, I mean, last I knew, it was unclear whether or not Cam was going to play. I don't think Tally was going to play.
Yep.
When I knew Cam wasn't going to play, most likely, I was like, oh, Ethan Happ's going to have a freaking field day.
Wisconsin probably ate our lunch inside.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I don't know. I don't know much. Those things are weird, dude. Like, you see, there was somebody that played Oregon last week and kicked the crap out of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
Oregon's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay.
That's a little.
But then you look at the box score and it's like, oh, Bowl played 12 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, never mind. This doesn't really matter.
And obviously a lot of the rotation guys, Steve's probably going to want to get a lot of them in. Might not play as many minutes.
See, that, like those scrimmages, they're hardly even real scrimmages. It's not like where you walk in and it's like, okay, we're going to play a real game and there just won't be a crowd here.
Yeah.
You know, that's just it. They do situations and like, it's just all kinds of different stuff, you know,
for sure. All right. Moving on. SRJ Clone asks, what is the one college football venue you most want to witness in person? And likewise for college football rivalry.
For me, Death Valley would be up there at LSU or at Clemson. Either one would be good. I really want to see the Big House. I think if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Death Valley at LSU. A night game with the white jerseys.
Also my pick, and obviously against Alabama. I think that would be the big one.
Alabama or Florida, or just a big SEC game.
Yeah.
The Swamp would be cool too.
And then I'll actually go with your Nebraska Cornhuskers. I want to see a game in Memorial Stadium too.
It's something else, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It.
Yeah. I have another friend who's a Nebraska season ticket holder, and I think sometime I'll probably get to a game with him. So I'll check that off at some point.
If not, I'm sure we could probably work it out where my mom and dad could let us use their tickets for a crappy game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that it's one of those ones where, you know, it people give it.
The sellout streak was obviously.
The sellout streak thing, you know, it's like, it is what it is. But you do have to give people props there, just like I give people props at Iowa State, that regardless of what the whole sellout streak thing is, people show up week after week. They've been doing it for 50 years, you know? And it's like in that place every single week, regardless of who they're going to play, even if you know that they're probably going to get their asses kicked, it might be empty at halftime because they're getting their asses kicked, but it's still going to be rocking before the game even starts, you know? And it's just, like I just said, just like at Jack Trice Stadium, like the people there that between these two places, I take out the 90s, you know, and like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just the people at their core are much more similar than what I think either one of the fan bases would want to admit to each other. It's just kind of like Iowa. Like the people are very similar to each other. And I think that's why they butt heads so bad.
Yeah.
Is it's because it's just like, they're all Midwestern folk, you know, that, and it's just like, we don't have anything else. This is our thing.
I was gonna say,
football is our thing.
There's no pro sports teams anywhere, but you know, in Iowa and Nebraska. So there's a lot of college football interest.
So then that passion, the passion that you might put into a pro team or something like that, you throw it all into this school. Yeah. And it's like, and just depending on which school you are, it like, that's what, where it all comes from, you know? And it's like, when I go to games there, every time I'm there, I'm like, man, like this feels the same, you know, it's just different, a color of red, like a different shade of red, and the stadium's a little bit bigger. And it's like, it's all the same thing. And that, that's part of what makes being a fan of both schools so cool to me, having such like a deep connection to them both, is it's like, I can float between the two. And now that they don't have to play each other anymore, I can float between the two and have my different allegiance in different ways to them both.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad about it at all. There's people that give me shit about it all the time. And you know what? I could not care less, because at the end of the day, I just want to see them both have a lot of success.
Yeah.
And if they do, then I'll be happy. And if one wins and one doesn't, like, I'll be happy for the one that did win that day.
Yeah.
And I'll probably just won't care that much about the other one.
Yeah. Honestly, I would love to see Iowa State and Nebraska do a home and home at some point. I think that'd be really fun.
I think it would be cool. I've had this question asked a bunch of times of who I would be rooting for. At the end of the day, like I don't care that much. Like I have been desensitized to this stuff to a certain level. Like I go to games and I can't cheer. Like I literally can't from where I'm at. You know, sitting in the press box. So it's like, I'm not going to cheer for anyone. At the end of the day, I just want to see a good game. You know, like that's what I'm there for, is just to watch the game.
Yep.
And if I see a good game, I'm going to go home happy. And it's going to make, if Iowa State wins, my job's going to be a hell of a lot happier. So that would be good. If Nebraska wins, I know my mom and my dad and my sister, the people that, you know, have, I went to games with forever. I know they're going to be happy. I don't care. I want to see a good game. That's all I would say.
Pros and cons to both sides for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to get a bunch of crap for talking about that. But.
All right. Last question for the mailbag questions. Gunner Clone, also from the forums.
Wait, was there a rivalry one that we were asked about?
I said Alabama, LSU.
Oh, okay. I would probably say, man, I think Ohio State, Michigan at the Big House would be something else.
That would be fun.
Or even the Horseshoe, either one.
Yeah.
Or even like the shootout, the Red River shootout, I think would be pretty crazy as well.
Mm. Yep, for sure. The Cotton Bowl would be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Again, last question. Gunner Clone asks, sexy angel, sexy zombie, sexy hobo, or sexy clown? Obviously, this isn't regarding Halloween, which is today, you're listening.
The best one I saw was somebody's response on the forums that said, sexy mental patient.
Yeah, because honestly, you can, the thing about Halloween nowadays, you can put sexy in front of literally like any noun, and it's a Halloween costume.
Yeah. Halloween has really lost its way.
Yeah, it has. It's turned from like, fun kids,
or maybe that's just because of like what age we're at.
It might be, but I do think that it's trended more in that direction like the past few years. Like you didn't used to, again, social media didn't really exist when we were young, but at the same time, you didn't really hear about, you know, all the stereotypes of the sexy blank,
right? Yeah,
like you do nowadays. So, anyways, you have to pick one of those. Do you?
What are they again? Clown,
angel, zombie, hobo, or clown?
First of all, I'll say that I don't know how you can make a clown sexy.
Yeah, that seems like the most difficult one.
I was going to say, that one's way out there.
And I think angel, sexy angel, that would be kind of like conflicting for me because I think when I think angel, I think like beacon of light and like purity. And I don't think sexy. Sexy kind
of. Right, you're spitting right in the face of angels right there.
Exactly.
On some level.
That'd be a little awkward and kind of a turn off for me personally.
So we're down to zombies and clowns, or no, zombies and hobos.
Yep.
With zombies, I think that there's a case to be made here, but at the same time, to be like an effective zombie, I feel like you got to have like some sort of makeup and stuff like on your face. And once you start like doing like wounds on your face, it's like all of a sudden like
there's something wrong,
the sexiness like kind of goes out of it a little bit. No, it's not that there's anything wrong with your brain, it's just like something, like it just like you see that and it's like I know that that's not real, but at the same time it looks real enough that it just like drops someone attractive.
Well, see, that's
their attractiveness level.
That's
a little
bit like it's a you notice it, and even though again like you say it's fake, but at the same time you have a reaction to it like you would react to something that's gross.
Exactly. Like you know, like I think it was the zombie crawl in Ames like last week, and you see people with just like gashes like on their cheeks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like, well, for one, I don't know how long that took.
Yeah.
But it probably wasn't worth it for this one night. That's just my first thing.
Yep.
But secondly, it's just like, that is gross. I don't want to see that. I don't like that.
Yeah. So I guess that leaves Sexy Hobo as the clear and undisputed champion of this question.
We broke down the pros and cons of all of these. Clowns, I don't like clowns just in general.
The thing about hobos is like hobos naturally probably don't have many clothes, and that can in itself be pretty sexy if you think about it. That might be very shallow of me to say, but it's a fact. So if you're listening to this and getting mad at me,
it's okay. You can't beat what Jeff said on Football and Random Things. So.
Oh boy, I'll have to listen to that then. Was it what okay, like without saying what it was, like what's the
no, it's okay, that geez. Podcast will be out for quite a while before anybody's listening to this, but
okay.
Basically we were talking, okay, so he went on a long, he asked a question and then without me reacting to the question he went on a long thing answering the question, which is not that much different than what it ever is on our podcast.
Mm.
And I think I said, man, I think you just asked yourself a question, dissected the question, and then answered it all yourself without me saying anything more than like, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, right, yeah. And he was like, I was like, you should just host a show by yourself, dude. And he was like, yeah, I'll be like Colin Cowherd. And I was like, well, Colin Cowherd does have like a not a co-host, but it's like a, and it's not really a producer, but it's someone there with him, you know, a fact checker, like that kind of stuff, Googling things for him. Mm. And he's like, well, yeah, but isn't that just a hot girl? And okay. I was like, well, no. I was like, Kristen Leahy's like super good at her job, dude.
Yeah.
She got her own show, like out of doing that, you know? Mm. And he's like, well, yeah, but let's be real. Like she just got that. And I was like, oh my God. And he just like, he kind of just kept going. And I was like, man, you are saying some problematic stuff right now. And he just like kept going. And I was just trying to slow him down. And it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where I was like, I know how some people can construe this stuff. And I just want to make it clear that I think that Christine Leahy is very good at her job. And this has no, like, this is all him. Like, yeah. this is all his opinion.
So Jeff's going to have some feminists knocking down his door is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm not saying, like I said, I don't think it was bad. I don't think he meant it to, like, in a negative way.
Yeah.
But it was just, and it all kind of ended. And he was just like, he said, when have you ever seen like a, I think it was like an unattractive, like 5'4" person, like in that role. And I was like, I mean, Stanford Steve's like made a whole career out of it. And he's like, yeah, but that's a guy. And I was like, I mean, that's fair, man. But I was just kind of like, that's fair, but I don't think that we really needed to like
go there
right now, you know? And that's just kind of what my thing was. But, so that was just a big piece of football and random things, which is just a cesspool at this point.
It's a hot take, and I obviously always appreciate hot takes on podcasts.
Yeah, like I said, that take belongs to Jeff Woody and Jeff Woody alone. Maybe we need to start having a disclaimer at the beginning of the podcast. The opinions of the hosts of this show
are theirs only,
theirs and theirs alone.
Yep.
Do not reflect the beliefs of CycleFanatic.com. Oh my God. That podcast, dude, we got done and I literally said, I was like, dude, we have to stop. I can't do this anymore. I have to get ready to record another podcast in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Done a lot of podcasting today, man.
I know. I haven't even gotten all my other work done yet. So I've just been keep podcasting. All right. Is that all the questions?
That's it. You can take us into the break.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Stands and Fits presented by the Professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seen or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache. And I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic. Hey guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry, and I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. Mybookie.ag is the website. If you join right now and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. Mybookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. You play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag. Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network, as always, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University.
Let's roll into hot and not this week. Jared, what do you got for hot this week?
What do I got for hot this week? I have Tertiary Blue. It's back.
It is.
Kyle Kemp wore a Tertiary Blue sweater with the Bird in the Blender logo. It's back. It is back with a vengeance.
I'm wondering, where did he get that?
Oh, it had to have been a thrift store. There's some great thrift store signs and like finds up in Ames.
Honestly, there probably is, because people obviously would turn in a bunch of their old Iowa State gear.
Yeah.
So you can probably find a bunch of really cool stuff.
I have a, it's a back-to-back Big 12 Champions t-shirt from 2000-2001.
Nice.
Got that at the Goodwill by Hy-Vee there in Ames. Mm-hmm. I got a 2005 Houston Bowl shirt from there. If you're ever just looking for like old retro Iowa State gear, that is one of the best places I think that you could ever possibly go.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool. That's cool. He would wear that during media availability.
I also wouldn't be surprised if he just like
picked it up off like a desk somewhere.
Or somebody just had it like in the equipment or like in the football building.
Yeah.
Like in the equipment room or something. And he's just like, hey, can I have this? And I don't think anybody's going to tell Kyle Kemp no at this point.
Very true. Very true.
What do you got?
My hot Red Dead Redemption 2. My video game that I've been looking forward to for like 2 years now since it was announced. Finally out. Really fun. I'm guessing you probably haven't had any time to...
I have not played it, yeah.
Hey, did you play the original one? I can't remember if we had this conversation.
I did, yeah. It came out when I was like in middle school though, so it's back when I had more time to play games like that.
Yep. Really fun. Very good graphics. A lot of really cool animations, like limbs fall off if you like get run over by a train. The first way I died, I got mauled by a bear. So I've gotten like the full outlaw experience.
How expansive is it?
I've only played, I want to say like, I don't know, 10 hours total. And
only, didn't it come out on Friday?
Well, I took the day off Friday.
To like, play?
Yeah, well, kind of. Like I had gotten to the point where I hadn't taken a day off work in like 3 months. So I was due. So I took one off and it just so happened to coincide with the day that it came out, the game. So yeah, I got a lot of playing in Friday. The map is very big, and you know, it's not as big, I think, as the Grand Theft Auto 5.
I was just going to say, give map. Me a compare and contrast with Grand Theft Auto 5.
However, yeah, it's not as big, but again, you don't have any like jets or airplanes or fast cars to get around. So I think it feels bigger than it actually is, since you have to get around on horseback.
Yeah,
so,
or walk.
Or walk, yeah. Or, you know, ride on the back of a buggy or something.
Right.
Know? So it's been fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually making some progress and doing more stuff.
Yeah, to me, Grand Theft Auto 5 is like the gold standard when it comes to that kind of game.
And honestly, the amazing thing about Grand Theft Auto 5 is that even though it was released, what, like 7 or 8 years ago now?
Yeah,
a long time.
I think it was when I was, I want to say that the original version, like the Xbox 360 version, came out like in 2013.
Yeah.
And then the new, like the, you know, remastered one that was on PS4 and that kind of stuff was in 14, like the next year.
Yeah.
I had both of them, but.
So the impressive thing is like at one point, at least last year, I know for a fact, because I was just looking online, they hadn't discounted the game at all.
No, it's still the same.
And it's
they're easily, still adding stuff to it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like it's easily the best selling game of all time, like to this day. Like it still sells so many copies per day.
Right. And that, I mean, that's a testament to just how good the game was, you know? And it's like, I was talking to one of my friends about this one day. He's like, why haven't they made a Grand Theft Auto 6? And I was like,
because
did they need to? Like, Grand Theft Auto 5 is still selling like it's nothing, you know? And
And obviously Rockstar was working on Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right. Yeah. So I would assume that will probably be like their next thing. And even then it probably won't come out for several years.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like they might not release Grand Theft Auto 6 until the next generation of consoles comes out. Right. Honestly.
Yeah. That game was phenomenal, dude. That's like the last game that I played that it was like I was so engrossed into just having to beat that game.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd never beat a Grand Theft Auto game before that. I couldn't have Grand Theft Auto when I was little.
Same. Yeah. I only got to play Grand Theft Auto when I got to college.
Yeah. Well, I had played it, but it was like at my friend's house.
Yeah.
You know,
same.
That's what it was. It's like you went to your friend's house and they had all, and everybody had their, had the cheats written out like on a piece of printer paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my first ever introduction to Grand Theft Auto was, I think it was San Andreas.
Yeah, mine was either that one or Vice City. I can't remember which one.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it progressed into the one in New York, Grand Theft Auto 4, and then obviously Grand Theft Auto 5.
Cheers to Grand Theft Auto, man. What a console series. Did you see that they're putting the original one on the PlayStation, whatever that thing's called?
Is it the PlayStation Classic, are they calling it?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it's called. I think so.
That's cool, though.
The concept, basically, the little one.
Yeah, they got like, what, 20 games or something like that?
There was only a handful on there that I'd ever played.
Mm-hmm.
Any PlayStation thing that comes out like that and inexplicably excludes Crash Bandicoot Racing, I'm out. I'm not doing it.
While we're on topic of video games then, like what are your like top couple video games all time played?
Of all time played?
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto would probably be up there.
Mm-hmm.
I won't include if it was all time like series and stuff like that, NCAA football would be so far ahead of everything else that it wouldn't even be funny. But I'll exclude those just because they don't really. I mean, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
So I would say Grand Theft Auto. Man, I can't even think of like other games that I played until I beat it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, Red Dead was up there.
Mm.
Yeah, I've never been that kind of person that it's like, I'm going to get this game and beat it and like play it for hours and hours, you know?
Yeah. For me, we didn't own a game system ourselves until Nintendo GameCube. So we had a GameCube at first and I played a lot of Mario Kart Double Dash.
Oh, yeah.
That was a real fun game. And then we eventually got a PlayStation 2 and played a ton of Guitar Hero. Like I was really good at Guitar Hero.
Played a lot of Rock Band. That's more when I like started playing those kinds of games.
Rock Band was fun. And then, yeah, obviously when I got to college, that was the point where everyone had Xbox 360s and PlayStation 3s. So we played a lot of, again, Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that.
I played Mafia 2 all the way through to the end.
Really?
Yeah. And I played most of Mafia 3, I think like the most recent one, but I don't think I ever beat it.
And then a lot of the gaming in middle school was Halo. Like you'd go to your friend's house and play Halo.
That's what everybody played.
That was a classic.
I was awful at, dude, not the newest Call of Duty, the Black Ops one that just came out. I don't like the like futuristic ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this World War II, that's the first Call of Duty game that I've ever been like relatively respectable at. No, like, I was always like, yeah, I'd like to play because all my friends all played and they were all super good.
Yeah.
Like I had one buddy, one of the kids that I lived with in college, when we were in high school, he was like number one in the world for a while.
And, really?
Yeah. Like on the rankings and stuff, what his KD was.
Wow.
And you know, like all those guys.
Obviously it's never even fun playing with him.
Right. Exactly. So like, I'd be so bad that I'd never want to play with them. I'd feel bad. You know, it was like, I'm having fun, but all of you guys are so good that I feel like I look like I'm terrible, which I wasn't good, but I wasn't completely awful, you know?
Yeah, you weren't there good.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I just won't even try because it's like, there's no point in me trying when you guys are as good as you are.
Yeah, exactly.
But now I've gotten like...
More acceptable.
Right, I'm not as awful as I was before, but I'm still not by any means great at it.
Yeah.
Is that it? So what... What else did you have?
That's it. So, yeah, you can go ahead and share your knot now.
My knot this week is the Big Ten. This really has nothing to do with anything that's happening on the football field. Maryland inexplicably has decided to bring DJ Durkin back as their head coach, which it's sounding like is going to create some serious issues because I've already seen multiple places that the Maryland football team is planning to boycott this decision, which is going to be interesting to say the least. It also is interesting that the president of the university basically said that, no, there's no way we can bring this guy back. And then the board of trustees basically told him to either take a hike or bring back DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely
insane.
Insane. So that's one thing. I'm interested to see how that's going to go. I don't know what the ramifications are, but I read that entire report, and it is, I think anyone who reads it would agree that there's no way in hell that that dude should maybe not ever be a coach again. I wouldn't go that far, but at least to ever be reinstated as a head coach at Maryland. I will say that.
It makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes between the board and DJ Durkin that they would support him so much.
I would say that there's some people on that board that are a little bit misguided in what their priorities are.
Mm.
That would be my opinion. All right, the second one. Apparently today, Rutgers had a player that was charged in an attempted double murder. Didn't read anything else about the story. Don't really know much about Rutgers football. All I needed to know was that, and that gives me everything I need to know about it. It was a bad off-the-field day for the Big Ten.
I feel like the Big Ten in general deserves way more criticism for their additions of Rutgers and Maryland than they have even got in these years.
Yeah, it's been an absolute farce.
Yeah. Like the whole TV market excuse, yeah, doesn't anywhere near make up for, you know, the bad stuff that's come out of Maryland and Rutgers.
I do think that at the end of the day, adding Nebraska to get to 12, that was the right move, I think. Regardless of what people want to say about how they've been on the field in recent years, I do think that that was a good move because they still fit within the footprint of what that conference is, I think. But Rutgers and Maryland were both inexplicable at the time. Regardless of what they said about TV markets and stuff like that, it made no sense when you thought about the competitive balance of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes even less sense today.
Yeah.
And I don't know what way they can go about it. I don't think you can kick them out. I mean, probably technically you could, but I'm not sure that that would be a thing that would ever happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Did you see that Baylor got like officially reinstated as a full member of the conference again today?
Yeah. Wasn't it with like a $2 million fine though or something like that?
Well, yeah, they tallied up like the amount that they
hurt the
withheld. Well, no, like that they withheld from them.
Oh.
So they have to pay all the legal fees like out of that money. And then that money will be invested for like 48 months or something like that. And then they'll take $2 million out of it for reputational damage to the conference. And then the rest of it will be evenly distributed throughout the rest of the other nine schools.
Oh, okay.
And now Baylor, so it's like they're investing that money to make it bigger in theory in the next 48 months.
Hmm.
And then Baylor just now is reinstated, like they get their full share of the conference revenue.
Gotcha.
What a day off the field for college athletics.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good thing that on the field, I guess it doesn't matter now when this podcast comes out, but Maction is back and that's all. That'll make everything better.
Yep. All right, moving on. My not this week is the Hoyballs. I don't know. Did you watch the game last night?
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
Yeah, but I didn't look up what the final score was.
I think it was like 149 to 108 or something like that.
I just knew that they got blasted by the Warriors.
They gave up almost 100 points in the first half.
Yeah, it was like 92 points or something like that.
Yeah.
And obviously, Klay Thompson, he broke the single game 3-pointer record. And then my question to you is, do you think that the end for Fred is near, or do you think he's going to last a little bit longer? It's so tough because their roster right now is still banged up.
The roster is banged up. The roster sucks just in general.
Yeah.
It's going to suck for Fred because everything that's happened for him in his career at this point is just like
a slap in the face to what he would want in an actual basketball program.
The front office has been such a farce that the fact that at some point the blame is all going to like turn back on him. Is there some blame to put on him? Probably, because I don't think that anyone would disagree that there's been issues with managing the chemistry in there.
Mm.
But at the same time, I don't think that the front office has ever done him any sort of favors in building him a team that he can win with and playing the way that he wants to play.
For like the first 2 or 3 years, he didn't have any kind of like the Hoyball roster makeup. And now that he's finally kind of getting there, a little bit closer at least. They're all hurt and obviously underachieving too.
I believe that eventually one of the great what ifs of that entire situation will be if the Bulls had brought Tibbs back for the next season instead of the year that Fred went. Fred stays at Iowa State for one more year. Flip Saunders dies that fall, and Sam Mitchell takes over as their interim coach. They go through that year. Iowa State comes back with Fred's best team, does whatever they do. Potentially, you know, they would have been in contention to be a very high seed in the NCAA tournament. Who knows? Go to the Final Four, win the national championship. They would have had the talent to do all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then he goes and takes over the Timberwolves and has Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins rather than the clown show that he walked into in Chicago.
Yeah. And that honestly, it makes you really wonder. I mean, because again, like you said, those players would be so much better attuned to what he wants to do on the floor.
Not necessarily Wiggins as much, but especially Cat, dude. I feel bad for that guy. I mean,
he's had a slow start to the year, hasn't he?
Yeah. Dude, that entire team.
They're a mess right now, too.
Yeah. I just think everybody hates Jimmy Butler so much. And regardless of what he says about himself as a leader, that dude, he's a whole other discussion.
He seems like a big me-first kind of guy, no matter what he says.
The idea, it's like, okay, you want to do all these antics. You want to go into practice and do your thing, you know, like, and make yourself look like a fool. That's cool. Do you, Jimmy. It is what it is. But when you go on national television and you sit there and you try and tell us that all you are about is winning and all this kinds of stuff,
BS.
And then it comes out that you know, with your trade, the teams that you want to go to, the Nets, the Knicks, like all these teams, it's like, dude, like these teams are further away from winning than the team you're already on.
Yeah.
That does not make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's him spitting in the face of everybody else. And it's like, I'm smarter than all of you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, you're making yourself look like an idiot because all of us look at it and it's like, okay, something is not right here.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I don't understand. Jimmy Butler has made himself look like an idiot during this entire thing. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. That's another rant that I had to go on.
I'm there with you. Yeah. I would hate to be the Timberwolves right now. All right. Do you want to take another break or do you want to roll right into underrated underdogs?
Let's roll with it. We're good.
Okay. I'll go first this week. So reviewing our last picks from 2 weeks ago, I had picked Oregon to beat Washington State. Oregon lost by 14 points. So I remain at one win on the season. This week, I'm going with Iowa, who is +3 against Purdue. I just don't see Iowa playing as bad of a game as they had against Penn State 2 games in a row. And I think that they will beat the Boilermakers.
Yeah, we've really I've really hit the skids after getting off to a hot start.
You did.
I'm only 1-2-6 now.
I'm only one game behind you in the standings, so you got that jump, that hot start, but I am right there now.
There's not many games that there was a couple games that were all right, but I'm gonna go out on a limb today.
Yeah, you are.
I'm gonna go out on a limb today. Hey, if we're gonna pick underdogs,
this is definitely an underdog.
Why not? Why not go out there and play? We're here to play. I'm going to throw the gauntlet down. I'm going to throw out a take. I don't care. That's cool. I'll be wrong, probably. And I'm perfectly fine with that because I picked an underdog. But you know what? I believe in Coach O. I believe in the Tigers. +14.5 at home against potentially one of the greatest teams in the history of college football at this point. Tigers are going to keep it close. To the fourth quarter. Tua hasn't even seen the fourth quarter. Tua's over there eating hot dogs during the fourth quarter. This guy, he doesn't know about pressure. He doesn't know what it means to walk into Death Valley with Coach O on the other sideline. Joe Burrow going to go out there and get his money. Tigers, go Tigers, eat that gumbo, and we're going to get a W, get the big win, and shake up the college football landscape. There you go. There's my underrated underdog of the week. Lock it up.
That's feisty. That might be the biggest point spread for an underdog that we've ever picked on this podcast.
That's perfectly fine with me. I'm here to play.
All right. More than 2 touchdowns. Got a lot of confidence. All right. Let's
go Tigers.
Let's finish this off by doing a few would you rathers.
Yep.
Do you have any website pulled up?
I gotcha.
Okay.
All right. This website is called the Irish Examiner, but I think that they pulled these all off of Reddit. So,
as lots of sites do nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Reddit is like the backbone of the internet in its own way. Would you rather be able to converse with animals or have lifelong fluency in every language? So non-human animals, obviously, and then every human language.
Converse with animals. And I think that's because, like, the reason being is because that's such a unique, that would be such a unique thing. Whereas many people can already speak.
But every language.
All the languages. Still though, like how much further is that going to get you? Whereas if you could like basically get animals to do what you wanted, like that could.
Says you could control them. You can just talk to them.
Well, you can talk to them, but I'm sure it would be fairly easy to convince.
Dr. Doolittle can control the animals.
Fair enough. But I'm just saying, like, you'd be the one and only person who could actually communicate with animals on the planet, and I think that would be worth it, in my opinion.
Well, besides Eddie Murphy.
What about you? Would you agree? What would you do with the languages?
Yeah, no, I'd probably do the animals too.
Okay.
I was just giving you crap.
Being the devil's advocate.
Okay. If you had to live in a cage for the rest of your life, would you rather the bars be horizontal or vertical?
That's a really weird question. Oh man, I have logic immediately jump into my mind, but this one's kind of like I had to ponder this one for a second. Okay, so like if I'm gonna fall asleep against the bars, which do you think would be comfier? I would think the vertical bars, because you kind of like nestle your head between them.
Yeah.
So. I can't really think of any other reason why I would differ between them, so I'll just go with the vertical bars.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it's just what you're gonna have to look at for the rest of your life. So
yeah.
Which kind of lines do you find more aesthetically pleasing, horizontal or vertical?
I would say probably vertical. Yeah, I think if you came up to me and you were wearing a vertical striped shirt as opposed to a horizontal striped shirt, I would think that it looked better just because, you know, when you
vertical, I would only look like I was about 10 feet tall.
But yeah. Yeah, it'll make you look even taller. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like they say, if you wear horizontal stripes, then you look wider, obviously. So I'll stick with the,
so you would like for your cage to be slimmer.
Yeah.
And taller.
So thus I would look slimmer in the cage since the vertical bars would make me look slimmer. Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Would you rather have hair for teeth or teeth for hair?
So if I have teeth for hair, then I have regular hair. But if I have, or no, excuse me, teeth for hair, then I have regular teeth. But if I have hair for teeth, then I have regular hair.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I think I will go with teeth for hair, because if I had regular teeth, then I could still eat basically any food and I could just wear a hat the whole time.
You'd basically just have like braids, you know, yeah, with beads in them.
And yeah, I could cover up my, teeth hair, but I could not get rid of hair teeth.
This is such a disastrous mental image.
Yeah, so I think it would be easier to work with teeth for hair. So that's what I'll go with.
And that really messed me up. It's got me messed up now.
Do you agree with my logic there too, though?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know.
Because at least if you wore like a ball cap the whole time, then that would look normal as long as it like...
I feel like it'd be uncomfortable though.
It would be.
On your scalp.
But at least I could still like bite into a cheeseburger.
I guess you could always just shave them off. Do you think you could?
That's the thing. Like, can you pull them and on the top of your head, getting your teeth pulled? That'd be weird. So,
yeah, I don't know about that. That's a good
Halloween-ish themed question though. For would you rather?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of a creepy one.
All right, you got anything else you need to say this week?
I don't think so. I guess I'll briefly hand the hosting back to you for the closure.
Thanks again to the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University for being the presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits. We will talk to you guys. Oh, crap. I forgot to talk about the freaking party again.
Talk about the party now, though, Jared.
Man, I forgot about it on Football and Random Things. All right, guys. If you made it to the end, I really hope you did, because Chris is going to be mad at me for doing this twice already to begin the week. Friday night at Whiskey River in Ankeny, our annual tip-off party, 6 p.m. Of course, we'll have our special guests. Anybody who has ever been to one of our Cyclone Fanatic parties knows who those special guests are. Are you going to be there?
I think so, but I can't guarantee.
So that's a maybe from Fitzy. I won't be there, but I know Chris will be there, and I know that our special guests, they're way cooler than we are anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Very true.
Go on out, have some fun. Whiskey River in Ankeny, Friday night, 6 o'clock. Also, Saturday, 10:30 a.m., Buzzard Billy's in downtown Des Moines, Cyclone Fanatic and Wide Right Natty Light teaming up for another game watch. It's going to be a ton of fun. Go on out, have some drinks, have some fun. Are you going to go to that?
I will not be there. I have to babysit on Saturday. So.
Okay, so Fitzy again. Well, you're not going to see Fitzy at all, apparently, this weekend.
Hey, I'm a maybe for Friday, okay?
You're not going to see me. I will be in Lawrence working and not having fun with all of you guys. But I hope that everybody will turn out and have some fun because we love putting on these kinds of events for you guys. And, yeah. We plan to do more of them here in the future. So, yeah, Friday night, 6 p.m., basketball tip-off party at Whiskey River in Ankeny. Saturday morning at 10:30, game watch at Buzzard Billy's in downtown Des Moines. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace.